Hello. Hey, Bridget.
Hey, how's it going?
No,
And what's
I
going on,
just
Jeffrey?
came out of the dentist, so I don't know if I sound all right, but my ha mouth is half frozen, so.
You sound all right, but your mouth does look half frozen.
So funny. Oh my goodness. How you guys
Well,
doing?
my mom got dental surgery a couple weeks ago, but it actually ended up causing some complications. She's in the hospital right now, and is doing a lot better. She possibly will be home later tonight, but as of Sunday, she stopped eating. Hey, Mary.
Hi.
I was just saying that my mom, Jeffrey Jen, was saying that was sharing about their
Just came out
dental
of a
surgery.
dental appointment, so my mouth is frozen, my lips and my tongue and everything, so.
You're talking very well.
But you could tell that your lower jaw is a bit stiff.
Can't feel anything, that's all.
And I was saying that my mom is in the hospital because she had gotten her lower teeth extracted in order to put in implants, two implants to hold dentures in place. And then, like, as a result of that, stopped eating. And she'd already not been eating very much, but now it was just became a real struggle even to get her to, drink a milkshake or, something like that. But she got dehydrated. And or we didn't know this at the time. She just became very weak, unable to walk, falling over a couple of times. We brought her in, and they thought she might have an infection, but it turned out to be dehydration, and all the biochemistry out of whack, the electrolytes and kidney function and things like that. It's amazing though, like within 48 hours, her mind state went from completely chaotic to having a conversation with me, and almost better than before her decline into in this last couple of weeks from the surgery. Fortunately, the staff at the hospital has been really good. They've sent in a dietitian, they sent in social worker, speech language therapist. Somehow it's oddly like a relaxed setting. Even the emergency room was relatively relaxed. So that's kind of what I've been dealing with the past few days. But I have gotten some things done, and looking forward to our meeting. Should we all just, that's my check-in. Should we all just check in and then get into an agenda and work through some topics?
Okay, well, hello everyone. Sorry, I've been away for quite some time. I don't have a whole lot to check in with regard to what's going on. But I do want to know. I'm interested to know what's going on with Jeffrey Jen's book, and what the progress has been, and where we are with the things that I had sort of committed to doing at that point. Personally, everything's just been rather crazy over here, continually. It's a different thing every day, but but that's about it. So that's my personal check-in, but
Things are real normal here. I did a bit of work on the Cosmos website that I think you guys know about, so I'd love to get feedback on that today. And personally, my new flatmate is arriving today, and so I'm moving in with my neighbor so that I don't have to quarantine with him. Because in Canada, you have to quarantine 2 weeks, so very strict. So,
Still.
absolutely, So he had to spend 3 days, he had to get a test as soon as he got off the plane, wait in a hotel till he had a negative result. He can come here, but I can't be here. I'll have to bring him groceries and things, which will be fine because I'm just next door. But so I have to make sure I have everything I need for the next 10 days. And he'll get spot checks by the police. They'll come and knock on his door just to make sure he's here.
Wow.
So pandemic is still happening.
And I guess it's like kind of a, unevenly distributed at this point.
I mean, Quebec's actually doing really great. We've, in the entire province, we're down to 400 new cases a day. So in a province of 8 million.
So. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, sometimes I think that the policy issues are more like communication issues, and like, you don't want to say the truth because the truth will be misinterpreted and then people will do the wrong things, which will, you know, reignite maybe some outbreak or something like that. Like the message we've gotten from Boulder County Public Health is clear. But then there's these mixed signals because there's a lot of places where they still want you to wear masks. A lot of businesses don't yet feel comfortable dropping the requirement, even though I don't think it's technically required anymore. And it's a kind of weird situation because obviously not everybody's gotten vaccinated. There's a whole sector of the society, I guess, that is kind of holding out and it's not with the program. So it's a weird situation. And we were talking about how, I don't even know what it's like in India, like today, but I know in the last month and last few weeks, it's been pretty horrible. So definitely not over.
Yeah. I know. So anyway, so there, you cut me in. I just finished moving a bunch of bags over to my neighbors before this meeting, and I'll do the rest after. And then next meeting, you'll probably see me in a different place.
Okay.
So.
Nice.
Okay, on my end, so I've almost finished the revisions, the corrections. I'm in the last chapters, but there's quite a lot of comments from you guys in those chapters. So I've got still got a few more days work to finish it up, but I'm almost there. I published print Star Gardening on Monday, as we agreed. So that went up on Monday. I made a small change to part of it. I added a small, and I found a nice image for it. And I mean, I have other things going on. I've started this, another crazy project, but so I joined a writer's group on Twitter. It was a call that went out people for literary genre fiction writers critique group. So I joined this group. It's not really active, but there is a bit of and because I have this manuscript for a contemporary novel that I wrote about but it's in a way it's related to Bridget, your book about gender fluid person. And I kind of wanted some feedback from people about this book. So I have had some through the group already. But one of the people in the group is present on Wattpad, which I had heard about, but hadn't done anything, hadn't really looked into it. So I had this short story I wrote last year at the Clarion West summer school. And so I decided, and with the project of writing other short stories in the same universe, right? So I decided I would put this up on Wattpad. So, cool. So I have two chapters up on Wattpad.
How did that go? Did you get like reader feedback or interaction?
Well, it's very slow right now. I only have a few people who sort of paid attention to it, but they say it's slow at first, and in order to build readership, you have to read other people's work and comment on it, and then they come back and follow your work, and so over time you can build a readership that way, but you can't do it instantaneously, which is fine.
Does Wattpad let you tag
other people tag your work? Yes,
but I mean, so archive of our own, for example, gets you to specify tags about what's in your story, and people sit down and they're like, I would like a story now about set in the Wild West, about a gender fluid person, and all of those are tags. And so
yeah, so that's right. So I had, they allow 20 tags.
Yeah.
So I have, and I'm doing quite well in a number of the, because they allow you to see where, how far up the list you're placed in each tag. Mm-hmm. So I can see that I seem to be doing reasonably well. They also have an AI algorithm that determines the style of your writing. And so they've assessed my writing as being literary style. Because it uses long sentences and a vocabulary that goes with, you know, so there's some sort of evaluation in there. Wow. They have about six different categories, some which are more popular and some which are more literary. So, but the literary styles get rated higher in their system. So my stories are doing better because they're literary. They're considered literary style.
Interesting.
Anyway,
so that's
an interesting exercise.
Is that a bias, or is that is that?
Yeah, genre like... right? I'm a little.
Well, it's not the highest rating. The highest rating is, I don't remember what the name of it is, but it's something that's a little bit more popular than the literary.
It's cool. It's fun to hear how platforms are doing things.
Yeah. You mentioned Archive of Our Own. What's that?
Oh no, it's the fan fiction archive, and it's just, I think, broadly recognized as like the best run fiction archive, I think, on the internet. It's just incredibly user friendly, and the tag system works very, very well. But it's for fan fiction. If you wanted to read about like Batman meeting Superman in a coffee shop while they're both in college, and adopting a puppy, or just like anything, you could find that.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool. I mean, I think user friendliness is something that would be great to have more of. You know?
But I must admit, I like this idea of getting reader feedback, even if the work is not finished, so that you can kind of get, and then you can tweak it based on reader feedback. I love that idea. So it's kind of an experiment for me to see how that works out, you know?
And different places have different commenting culture too. Like some platforms you can leave, you know that people will leave nice comments for you.
Mm-hmm.
I would never read my YouTube comments. I would read my AO3 comments, kind of thing.
Those vary widely, the YouTube ones. Some of them are really complimentary, others are like, I hate you. It's like, okay.
I remember trying, I tried Wattpad years ago, and I think some authors got on board with it, like Margaret Atwood.
Margaret Atwood's there, Paul Coley. Colo is there?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But
they're, I mean, if you're really well established, I mean, I don't think the platform does quite the same thing for you as somebody who's unknown, right?
Yeah, but you can monetize your work there. Like you
They
could...
do have monetizing systems, yeah. And you can agree to having your stories, whatever it is, submitted for evaluation to be monetized.
Hmm. Oh, interesting. Okay. I said I have my own bias because I don't like actually using any of the app. Like I still like paper books. And so, and I also don't tend to choose books based on kind of like a set of interests, you know, like tags. I mean, usually I read books that people recommend to me, or, you know, they like, or that come up in conversation is often how, like, I, you know, kind of just, I narrow down the infinite field of possibilities of like what, you know, what to read. And even then I still have too much. So, but it's interesting. Like, I don't, because what we're doing also is creating a kind of subculture like that involves readers in, you know, in a relationship with authors, right? And the better, like the stronger we can make that experience, the easier for authors to publish, and also the higher the quality, so that there isn't just a kind of morass of, like mediocre work, but there's attention, care, there's like, you know, there's, not to say that authors on these other platforms don't put attention and care into their work, because I'm sure many of them do. But it definitely makes a big difference, you know, to read somebody who's been working on it for a long time, whatever kind of writing they're doing, just the fact that they've been putting in the work, it will improve the writing. And if there's a community that supports that, and then if there's like a way to connect with readers, and if there's a way for the readers to support those writers, that would be the ideal, I think, situation. That's why I'm interested in hearing about all these platforms too. And just wish I had more time to explore. I used to spend a lot more time surfing the internet, and I think more and more realized how precious my time is. And if I'm going to surf, it's going to be like purposefully. I've gotten kind of internet app jaded. And that's also what I think, this is a bit of not a tangent, but I think part of like when we look at building a publishing imprint and a community and so forth, like what makes it different? What makes it an alternative to other platforms or other places for somebody who's seeking either something to read or a community of people to read with, or a place or community of people to whom you can publish your work and get meaningful feedback. I feel like that, like bringing awareness to what that is and then amplifying that is, you know, would be one way to grow Cosmos and grow Untimely Books and Metapsychosis. And for the most part, we've been improvising, and like things come up in conversation. Somebody wants to read a book, we read it, and that ends up attracting certain people who end up becoming, you know, involved in other ways, like yourself, Jeffrey Jen, and and you, Bridget, for that matter. So like whatever the pattern is, like how do we grow it? I could give a couple of other item updates, unless there's other items you guys want to talk about.
No, a quick mention, I've started to work on the second review for Maya's novel. So I have the very beginnings of something for that. So that was more for her than for Cosmos, but it's part of our exchanges with her anyway.
I just posted to the E-Zone the page that I had shared with you and Maya about the reading group. And I'm going to move it from there to another channel that's public, Readers Underground channel, so others can see it. But I wanted to just put it there so that at least you could definitely take another look at it. It's, I think, fine. I don't think it needs
a lot. I think I already commented on it.
Sure. Yeah, you saw the version I pasted into the message, and I tweaked it a little bit. Yeah. But I think it's fine. I was excited by it. I'm like, yeah, I would want to do that. That sounds fun. And then actually, I wanted to also ask you, I was looking at our calendar, and there was a writer's prize, a Quebec maybe writer's conference prize that you wanted to submit your manuscript to?
It's the annual, is it a prize, Mary?
It's the Quebec Writers Federation gives a variety of prizes. You'd probably want to go for the first prize.
But the deadline is June the 1st, and I don't think we're going to make it. So, and the June the 1st is for publications up to middle of August or something. But so if we don't actually publish it until September, we're going to be in the next year anyway. So, yeah. So I don't know where we are on the publication schedule yet. But
I don't mind the pace that we're taking. And as soon as you're ready, I'll be ready to look at what you've done. So in the meantime, I'm getting other things taken care of. While Kayla and I have been waiting for the final version of the manuscript and to move forward on that, We've started working on the newsletter again, and we're at this point like learning about and developing like experimentally with a marketing platform. It's called Mautic, Mautic, and it essentially like manages all like email communications and like contacts, tracking, automating messages. So somebody like signs up for a group, you could have like, as on MailChimp and other platforms, you could have a series of emails that goes out. If somebody signs up, say, to volunteer or to get involved, like they respond to your classifieds, Mary, then they can indicate like their interests. And if we develop a library of resources, like to do like FAQs or tutorials or introductory kind of you know, pages, those could be like sent in an automated way. So every week you might get a new email, and you know, or a person in the cooperative who is also interested in that topic could be notified, like, and they could get in touch with them, so that there's more of a personalized kind of interaction and more personalized welcoming of them. So we've been experimenting with it, but it looks pretty good. It's like it's very actively developed. It's owned by a big company, and it would be like on our own server. We can have as many subscribers as we want there. We could get access to anybody that we want. And very fine-grained, like permission levels, different lists. So like editors could, let's say, I don't know, this is just hypothetical, but let's say you have a page on the cooperative side and where people sign up to hear about you. They're interested in your work. So that could become your own list. And then you could send to that list, right? Or the marketing team on your behalf could sort of specify, like, these are all like Mary Thaler fans, or these are Bridget, you know, followers, or sponsors. You know, it could be, we have a lot of, we could grow, it could grow with us, and we can grow with it. And we've been evaluating it for a while. And I think it's a good bet. Like, so Kayla's been designing the template there, and we're going to test that out. And then I have some technical work to do just to like set up like system admin stuff. But anyway, that's moving forward. The Cosmos Co-op site where Mary, you posted that page, I've been updating it. I haven't yet gotten to like looking at the about page and the home page. I think they need to be updated. They're quite old. And I probably feel embarrassed about what they say at this point. So,
interested. Should I hold off? I wanted to ask what I should do next with that work that I've done, but it sounds like I should wait a little bit until the rest of the websites.
I don't know. Part of me is like thinking that maybe you shouldn't wait, because
you got to be ready before you're ready.
Yeah, like
got to do it before you're ready.
In a way, if you're ready to get the emails, then like that puts just more pressure on me to look at the about page sooner rather than later. And I don't mind that pressure. Like it's something I want to do. And I think it's an important next step to like articulating, all right, what's the current kind of state of the idea, and getting something refreshed up there, but then ultimately like opening that up, that process of like conceiving and articulating, opening that up, so that like I don't want to write the next about page. Like somebody like else will write it, or it'll be like collectively written. But for now, like to support that call for participation, I think like updating that would be good. And so that gets actually to the next topic, which is that. I uploaded to Cosmos Cloud folder. It's in a folder called Cosmos Legal Setup.
Yeah, I just opened it.
Oh, you did? Okay. Yeah. So, our the lawyers that I don't want to call them our lawyers, but they're like lawyers we hired. They put together a package. It involves two PowerPoint presentations with a series of questions and you know, some definitions of terms and some like points. And then they went through and recorded themselves like in a Zoom commenting on all of that. And the idea being that it would be a lot less expensive for them just to do that than to go back and forth with us for a long time on, you know, let us absorb that. And then once we've done our work, we can return to them and say, this is what we want to do. And you know, we can answer their specific concerns to enable them to take the next step, which is to draft the documents and the contract and so forth. So I haven't even watched the videos yet. I watched the first one and I realized, okay, this is good. I want to watch this. Like, I like the direction they've gone. I like how they've presented the information. And like, I feel like we have good allies in the two of them. But I wanted, so I uploaded the videos and the PowerPoints. There's a train going by. I don't think you can hear it, but just so that you could start absorbing it, and we could then you know, take the next step of deciding how we want to go about answering the questions. I think there's just a lot to get to work through, and it won't be quick. it'll take some conversations and just some, you know, throwing out ideas and getting feedback. And I certainly have a lot of ideas, but they're like, I don't know even if they're how good they are until I put them out. And we talk. But I'm excited about it, and I just wish I could spend like all my like dive in and spend you know, a whole week or two really soaking it all in and brainstorming, coming up with ideas. I think that like the licensing, and it opens up some really interesting possibilities if you think like long term, like the fact that even though we're just like lowly writers, like we are building what in the conventional world is called intellectual property, and the cooperative context can enable like different kinds of ways of developing that, I think, that are maybe more adaptive, you know, and enable more different kinds of creativity than a atomistic, ego-centric kind of model. Like, how do we balance the interests of the individuals and the creators with interests of collaborators and partners and community and readers so that everyone has a kind of stake in it? And I'm imagining, all right, I'm writing a long poem. It's going to be a book, I believe, sooner or later, and it's lowly poetry. It may be worth nothing, but in another sense, I think that it could be generative and it could create like a lot other kinds of art. People could use it in music or they could use it in film. And how could I enable that? Like, how could we build terms that kind of enable a sort of generative process, right? Which, you know, you see like in culture through music, and it already happens, but it happens in this very contentious way. And I think we could make it more a collaborative kind of like an engine. You know, we can create Cosmos as a kind of collaborative engine for that. If we do this like legal work and like this sort of like thinking of like, how does it actually work? Nuts and bolts. Like, how does somebody like have the incentive to share their work because there's a reward in it that's even greater than if they were to, you know, go the traditional way, potentially, like for the right person, for the right kind of work. So Yeah, I'm excited to do it, but at the same time, I'm also daunted by the, you know, just by how much it is, and by you know, we actually just also need to do the writing and produce the quote unquote content. I'm just curious. I'm curious how you would like to, or what you think. And you know, you don't have to answer now because it may take a little while just to review everything, but how you'd like to approach this and like kind of work towards these final products, these contracts, these membership agreements and the licensing and so forth.
Well, I was looking at really quickly just before we started here, I opened up the slideshow on copyright and started reading through the first slides, and you know, it's sort of standard definitions of copyright and stuff that I've seen before. But when it gets to the questions, they're very simple questions, but you kind of sense that there's a little bit more going on to the answers than, you know, straightforward answers. You don't really know how to answer them in a way that is intelligent. So I don't know exactly. You know, I can read them on my own and have ideas, but I don't think that's ultimately the way to go. I think it's about this exchange and sort of working through these questions together that will get us somewhere, because I think they contain other issues. I'm interested to see what the videos, because I'm sure they raise some of those issues and help us understand what's important about the questions. Yeah.
Do we want to plan a meeting specifically, like agree that we'll all go watch these videos and then have a meeting specifically to discuss them? Or agree that like our next biweekly meeting will be about that or something like that?
That was along the lines of what I was thinking too, that it would be a good idea to review the material and then just have a meeting dedicated to that in some fashion.
I'm certainly down for that. And I mean, to keep it simple, we could use the same time. Although next week at this time, I have something else planned. But and Jeffrey and Jen and I also discussed this previously, maybe a little prematurely, but we have an agreement around open wit time. So I could return to that unless we just want to use this time in the maybe alternate weeks or at least the first meeting. Since it's mainly, as far as like, I can see other people participating in this, but I think the people that have the most material interest are you guys, because you've shared like work that has been produced, like, or you know, potentially would share that work in the future if you haven't. And then you know, it also, I think, it affects like what we could, like the possibilities that we could offer like to other authors. You know, if we invite other people in, it becomes more of a commitment in a way. I think it becomes more serious. So maybe just crafting it in a way that we all feel is really strong. Like, I think this really is a test of the cooperative like ethos, you know, you know, way of doing things, modus operandi. Like, this is the first test in a way. It doesn't mean there's a right or a wrong or that we'll get it right necessarily, but I think that like it's not the kind of thing that any one of us could do, I think, by ourselves, unless it was just our own personal business, and then, you know, we could make whatever answers we want. But the only way to get to satisfactory answers in this case will be that there is a felt sense and there's an actual process by which, you know, we all see our perspectives integrated into the final product. So,
but there are two dossiers in here. One is the publishing copyright thing, and the other is the co-op. which are somewhat different focus. I went to the copyright because, you know, kind of that was the first thing that interests me. But I'm a little bit unclear at this point whether or not, because I guess I imagine you can't really address the copyright issues without addressing also the co-op issues. So anyway.
Yeah, and probably first.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's the co-op issues are the big ones, I think, because it's because that's the ones that are, you know, that kind of surround the whole structure of the whole project. Mm. So yeah, you want to look at that first, and because the copyright is one piece of it. That's the bigger, that's definitely the bigger picture.
Yeah, I mean, this is a relatively new thing. I mean, there are artist co-ops, there are other kinds of co-ops, but I think that part of like what we're doing and the way we've been doing it, the fact that it's all mostly been online, some of us haven't met each other in person yet. And, you know, also that there's there are the possibilities to bake in other kinds of other means of value exchange, right? Like Litecoin. But that's not even novel anymore. Like when nowadays that, sort of using blockchain or using cryptocurrency based, like incentivization, monetization schemes, like that's become a thing. And in a way, that means that the technology is also more mature, and there's potentially more of the possibility of actually building it if we have a good concept. I guess we'll talk. I mean, here's like what I've been thinking. This is what I feel like maybe should happen. When I feel clear, like I want to make a formal invitation to people. I mentioned in a previous meeting, I don't know if it was here or another one, how Matteo Needham invited me to contribute to or be a participate in the Collaboration Journal editorial advisory group, and he sent me a personal letter, like on stationery. It was nice quality paper, and it was simple, but it was really well considered, and it was just hit the right notes for me, So I responded to it, and I've been participating in that capacity, and it's been really nice, even though really didn't have the time for it. But just the fact that I got an invitation like that, I almost couldn't refuse. Although I could have said I didn't have the time, but I wanted to reply. I wanted to respond positively to it because of the care put into the invitation. So I feel that after all this time, that it would be an aesthetic gesture, right, to make such an invitation to the people that have been participating so far, you know, whether intensively like you guys or more infrequently, but who are still like in the kind of larger space and aura and supporting it, and to make an invitation, say, okay, we're ready to take the next step, and here's what we've done so far, and to be able then to point at the archives and point at the website and the participants and kind of what we've built over time, which or accumulated, because there's been a certain amount of building, but there's just been a certain amount of accretion of material and of conversations and a kind of, you know, networking of perspectives. And here is a vision of what this can become. Here are some works in progress pointing to your work, GJ, and the other submissions, and kind of more an overview, like, but still to the point, and then inviting them to participate in some in a structured forward movement, right, where we do have, let's say, a marketing team that they meet and they talk about marketing stuff and how to, you know, how to communicate well about what we're doing. And we do have a technology group that's more focused on that. And we have our editorial group. But then I think things could grow in a much, it can grow faster and then grow in a more intelligent way, because, you know, we have, you know, we're bringing these minds together who, I think could, if they can resonate and they could cohere, would actually be very creative in a new way. Like it's not just like one entrepreneur's vision and then he pays a bunch of people to implement it. It's like, it's a different model, I think, of like intelligent self-organization. So, and I just want to jam on that. I want to talk about that and sort of flesh out what that really means and how it could really work. And, you know, how it could be also an improvement on cooperation, because there are definitely like downsides to socialistic and cooperative ways of doing things. Like, there's a reason why entrepreneurs just want to own the thing and be the boss. You know, it's like you can move faster and you can, you know, you don't have to go through the, you know, all the, you don't have to have all the messy conversations, basically. You just kind of decide things and do it. But how can we not get bogged down and at the same time, like, benefit from the collective? I think that's going to be an interesting challenge.
Well, we should probably, sorry, go ahead, Jeffrey Jen, go ahead.
I was just going to say, it sounds like we should go ahead and organize a first meeting in our, you know, in 2 weeks, whatever, in our editorial group, to have a first look at this. And then from there, we can decide how it breaks out into other meetings or other times, or, because I think we're going to have a fair amount of stuff in the editorial group still ahead of us, and we can't sidetrack it completely to deal with this other stuff. So we may have to break it out into other times, but a first meeting, it still makes good sense.
Okay, so why don't then we use our next meeting, which would otherwise be dedicated to the website, use it for this. And we can still touch on website stuff, but we don't have submissions coming in right now. So I don't think it has to take up most of the time. I do just on that, we'll come back to it next time. Okay. That's good.
Well, Bridget, you started to say something.
Well, pretty much you actually said what I had on my mind, which was, yeah, let's just have that, let's just organize having a first meeting to talk about that. So it looks like the June 9th meeting then. I was just looking at my calendar, that we want to talk about that. I'm just going to ask a tangential question. Has there any thought been given to when the website's going to start publishing again or accepting submissions? Because I still have Sella Greenwood writing to me regularly about when we're going to publish her piece. So I don't know, you know, I'd like to be able to give her some kind of a window, but I don't, you know, but we don't have to necessarily decide that right now since this is about book publishing. But, you know, I just don't know if anything was decided at a meeting that I missed, so.
Well, we have been publishing, actually. Like, even though we didn't formally open up submissions again, we have been publishing like items that have been either were either written for the newsletter or have been like in the queue. So Jeffrey Jen published Star Gardening this week. Last week, Mary published the interview with Marjorie Kay, and then I think the week or two before that, JF's piece. But they weren't the result of a concerted like. This effort to begin publishing.
Papers, yeah, call for submissions, right.
Right, so I would say that with Sella, why not, if...
ready to go, we promised it a long time ago, so yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you want to go with it, let's just get one other reader to, you know, go along with the peer review, and I'd be happy to be a reader on that, or...
Okay, we'll see.
But, right. Or unless anybody else would want to be. Maybe it'd be good for somebody else to be, actually. But yeah, we could just schedule that for any week
Is it an essay or a short story?
It's a poem. It was actually part of a series that she had done, and we did this, gosh, I think it was almost 5 years ago now. But for some reason, this piece kind of slipped through the cracks, and it never did make it up. If you're interested, I can share it with you.
Yeah, poem for a poem. I have the bandwidth.
Okay.
I just wanted to make sure I wasn't committing to a novella or something.
Right. I know, exactly. That's the way I feel right now, is like, I would love to pick up some of these things, but I don't have time for anything really long. So yeah.
Okay. On that note, by the way, Suze, Marjorie's interview was one of three, and I'd love to keep going and put up Susan Evans.
I forgot about that one.
Yeah. Susan, so I haven't made it into a post or anything yet, but I thought I'd keep going.
That would be super.
So cool. And Denise Orsan
Diane Thorson, yeah.
No, Denise Orsan George.
Okay.
That Marco put me in touch with. I'm gonna do an interview of her over Zoom. We've picked a date.
Okay.
Early June.
Cool. Okay.
Should do and record it and post it.
Okay.
That'll be cool. I'm looking forward to that. Denise is Brian George's partner and also is a friend with Marjorie. And they're in the co-op, the Galatea co-op, fine art. It's a fine art gallery in Boston. So that's cool. Denise, I've seen some of her paintings in person. They're really powerful, actually. Like they're abstract and they're very patterned and very like information dense, in a way which I think you get an idea from her website. But in person, they have like a trend. They have a power to them, so that's really cool.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. I thought we'd just put together enough material for, you know, anywhere from 10 to 20 minutes of recorded Q&A with her and I. So.
Okay, that sounds really good.
So it sounds like we're actually talking about some of the website stuff anyway, so that's good. So then we're just,
the next one
we got to talk about legal. So yeah.
Yeah, and I think maybe this is a good, this is, I believe, what we decided, although we probably revisited the decision a couple of times, but that we'd more focus on internal material, like than submissions. There are a few other pieces still like in progress or that are, I guess, on the back burner. Eduardo had a piece, Gurmeet, was also involved in with that, and Gurmeet had reached out to me. He emailed me asking for more material to edit, actually, but we don't have any other stories right now. So I thought I might just ask him if he has anything, and you know, or if he knows somebody that, if he wants to work with somebody, maybe I'll invite them to submit, and that way without opening up submissions and inviting in a lot of extra work, we could still continue to publish and but do it at our own pace so that, you know, we keep other projects on track.
No, it's good that we have some things that are kind of on the hopper, and because also, yeah, we don't want to lose sight of the schedule for Jeffrey Jen's book as well, because that's the main, you know, that I think that's sort of the main project this spring going into summer. And so then but I know there's other stuff too for untimely books, so you know, I think it's going to be later in the year that we maybe do formal submissions. So
I would like to open to submissions ever. Like, I think that it is an important element that we shouldn't let disappear completely, having open submissions, because we do want to be open to new people. Otherwise we've got a kind of barrier in place.
Yeah, and they bring in the new voices. I mean, the voices are
We're a bit too busy now.
And that's just the thing. Yeah, I agree. I think it's good to bring, you know, and I think that's why I think I'm thinking, you know, this should happen, you know, not right now, but not too far off in the future. You know, and I think, yeah, we're trying to do it managing with the people that we have and the time commitments that people have, you know. So, yeah, it would... I mean, that this may be less of an issue as the team grows, you know, if we get more people, Maybe we could have open submissions and then there's always just somebody around to pick something up, but you know, yeah.
This could come out of the classifieds too, where like if in a way submissions are like, could be a marketplace, a kind of marketplace. This is just a metaphor, but it's about matching up the writer with a reader, the writer with an editor. So let's say, Mary, you have on a scale of 120 units of bandwidth, right? And I have 2 and somebody else is 60. Or, yeah, and let's say that the writer that wants to submit something could see like who the editors are who have availability and like just on a page get a sense for like what the weight might be, you know, like you're in a queue of, you know, 30 other people who've submitted work. And I mean, maybe there's a way to match that up so that they could see even that they want to submit something to you to be a reader or to one of us in particular. So like the submissions page it's like open. It's even more transparent. It could be even more transparent in a way because it could show maybe not what we're considering, but kind of how busy we are, who's available, and even what they're looking for. Like that perhaps Mary, you're available for poetry and maybe you have a particular interest as far as like theme or genre. Somebody else, another editor, or could be one of the readers who responds to the classifieds, they're interested in, you know, they do want to read novels and they want something big. So that way we really, you know, we don't have to have so much a collective decision about what we're wanting or looking to accept, but it could be a combination.
And I put up a list of, possible roles within the editing world or publishing world because I kind of wanted to get an idea of, you know, what the possibilities were, I guess. It wasn't necessarily meant to be complete, but a kind of sense of what services offered might be, you know? You know, I don't know if it's any useful, but.
I thought so. And it gives an idea too of what role someone could play if they wanted to participate.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, there's editing and there's editing, I guess. I don't know. There's just because I've actually was asked by a colleague of mine she's doing a book on photographer as trickster. Okay. And she's got her first chapter out in the Journal of Interdisciplinary Studies, but she's turning it into a full book. And she's asked me to be the main editor on it. For a fee. I mean, it's, but when she wanted my fee, I'm like, okay, I've not charged a fee for this. And I'm looking through and I'm like, okay, there's proofreading, there's copy editing, where you're really like going through and checking sentences and everything. And then there's developmental editing where you're actually working on the content. So it's almost like there's 3 different levels. And when editors charge, they charge at those 3 different levels. Like how deep are we going with this? You know, and in her case, checking citations and doing things like that as well. Is another whole level of editorial work. And I think here we end up kind of doing a combination of those things depending on what's come in and how polished or not polished it is when it comes in, you know. But I know, I think like what Jeffrey Jen did, I mean, that's actually it's good to kind of break it out and to think about it in terms of what the separate roles are and, you know, what we're doing or what we're able to commit to at what level, you know, or what roles people would need to fulfill.
I think balancing the analytical, like breaking it down into, when you get to it, it takes time to do any one of those activities. And then there's a sort of fuzziness too, still. I mean, that I think we can't be perfectly analytical. And especially with literature, it's not just a commodity. It does have everything to do with the relationship between the reader and the writer, like, okay. Even if they've never met each other and never will. So like that has to be like maintained. It's very interesting though.
But there was also the gradations of art. You know, is it cover art or is it illustrations or is it, you know, there are different categories in the art as well and in the video, work. So, you know, video editing versus sound editing versus, you know, so, I mean, all of, I think having an explicit list somewhere, maybe more complete than the one I put up, helps people see, oh, well, that affects me because I'm this kind of person and I'm on that list, you know? So it's part, it's because if you just say publishing, a lot of people just say, well, that's not me at all. But if you put video editing, sound editing, you know, illustrations, whatever, all those things on the list, then all of a sudden it becomes inclusive of those people anyway.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. It really is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think so.
And it attracts also people who do it professionally, you know, or at least as like, you know, serious amateurs. You're right. So how are we including that? Are we putting that list up along with Mary's?
I don't know. I just put it in there, but.
It's in the page. That's the one I had the little question about how to hide text in, because mm-hmm. If you remember, because yep. If you click on it, it shows up.
Yeah. Kayla replied to that, actually. Yeah, it's fine.
I saw her answer.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I was thinking that with that page, we could add it to the menu. We might as well just add, if you, you know, whenever you're ready, I wanted to test the email thing, make sure it actually does hide.
Yeah.
Because what I found out, I created a test page. I just added my email to it. And then the plugin provided you with a link to like a page tester where you paste in a URL and it tells you if, it scrapes it for you and tells you what appears. But it turns out some other plugin was scraping the page and then putting this into meta tags, putting the email address into a meta tag. So even it was bypassing the first plugin. But I think that would be fixed. What's that?
So there's too many damn WordPress plugins, and they all start to interfere with each other after a while. God, I hate it.
Yeah, it definitely becomes a tangled web of WordPress. But anyway, I think it'll work. Got to test it one more time, but whenever you're ready, you can publish it and then I'll add it to the menu. Okay. Caleb.
So is there anything technical left to do, or could I go there right now and hit publish and it would be, was there anything left did you want to play with the email thing anymore?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
Spam catchers catch most of that. Anyway,
all right.
Yeah, go ahead and do it.
Good.
I'll test it and make sure that if your email address is showing, I will find out how to obfuscate it. I've done so before on another site.
And it's not the end of the world either. You know.
Yeah.
That's not my personal email anyway.
Yeah.
Burn it.
Okay. Cool.
I'll send you a note once it's published.
Yeah. Cool. It's been an hour. We can go until the top of the hour, but I don't necessarily need to. And my mom should be getting out at some point soon, so I sort of want to be ready for that.
Well, my dental stuff has worked its way through, so I can actually, I'm beginning to feel decent again.
Yeah, you can smile with your lower lip.
I'd be up for leaving, ending a half hour early. That seems good to me.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. If we're doing this on almost weekly, you know, every couple of weeks, then an hour is fine, and it maybe forces us to be more efficient. I definitely could use help with that.
So, well, I don't know if you heard when I think I muted it, but there was a massive thunderstorm going on while you were talking before, and this, you know, we just dropped from like 90 degrees down to like 60. So, which I'm happy.
Well, we do that every day. Yeah.
I love the air after that, after a thunderstorm. Yeah. It gets like ionized.
Yeah. So I'm going to run outside in the ionized air and see if it destroyed any of my plants outside. So, All right. Well, it was good to see everybody. I'm so sorry. Again, I'm sorry I haven't been here, but hopefully hope to do better.
Yeah, good to see you too. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I guess a couple of weeks. There's no fifth Wednesday this month, right?
No, I think the 9th is the next one. Okay. If you're doing the second one of the month, so.
That's right. Yeah. Next Wednesday is the 2nd of June and then the 9th. Okay. Yeah. Great.
Great. We'll see you guys then.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.